Hello everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's the 30th of December 2020 and it's 4:37 p.m. Yesterday we talked about Pelagon, who was a king of wisdom, and Ishwish, as they are called. And Ishwish is a person who has reached a high level of evolution. Typically the fifth stage of evolution, I would say, which I call life and creational wisdom. And at this point, people that get to this level of evolution can do amazing things like telepathy, telekinesis, levitation, incredible things. Their minds have powers that the might of their thoughts is really incredible. We'll just leave it that way. And the term Ishwish, I believe, comes from Lyra Vega. And a lot of times you'll see the acronym IHWH or something of that effect, or JHWH, which was kind of equivalent with the term God in some sense, because and the Meyer information always says the term God really doesn't refer to the universal consciousness. It refers to people who were on the earth and other worlds who had incredible abilities. Now, we are on the earth way down at evolution point two or stage two, where we're at least supposed to be in rational life. So we do have some ability to think and reason and have, you know, rational existence. But the Ishwishes commanded tremendous mental powers, and the might of their thoughts was incredible. And they often led peoples to different places. And one of these Ishwishes, Pelagon, came to the earth about 150,000 years ago. And he was very benevolent to, I believe they called him the Uva. Is that correct? Jeez, I have to look that up. The native earth peoples. But they kept separate from them. And they developed this gigantic civilization on the earth. And eventually, even though Pelagon was very developed in terms of his intellect and his spiritual evolution, once he died, and I believe he lived about 2,000 years, once he died, the successor started to do okay, but then eventually a guy named Jessus, I believe, took over for the successor of Pelagon, and everything fell apart and went into war at that time. And the earth was devastated for, I believe, 700 years, at least 700 years. It depends on what translation you look at, I guess. But certain amount of people remained on the earth, and they kind of lost their evolution. They went into a kind of a wild state. They lost their technology. They lost pretty much everything. And they fell into the reincarnational patterns of Earth. So there were some of these extraterrestrial humans who kind of became Earth humans. So now we have people on the Earth whose spirit forms are older, maybe 8 to 12 million years old, where a typical spirit form on the earth is of a human being, I think, is about 4 to 5 million years old, somewhere in there. We reincarnate it, and it takes millions of years. There are 7 evolutionary steps in this reincarnational pattern. It's primitive life, rational life, intelligent life, real life, life and creational wisdom, life in kind of a half physical, half spirit form, and then life in a purely spiritual state. And then there are 7 steps in evolution with just within the spiritual stage of evolution, and it starts out with the Arahatathrasada and goes in the Patali level at the seventh stage, and then finally we're supposed to merge back with this universal consciousness, which is a Vaisenheit being. It's not a human being. It has no personality. It has a super intelligence. It adheres to these creational natural laws like brotherly love, striving, harmonious, neutral, positive thinking. The fourth creational natural law, sometimes I refer to as the law of system and order. It's kind of having order and a schedule to your life. And then there's the law, creational natural law of reincarnation. There's a creational natural law of abundance and prosperity. And if we follow these creational natural laws, life goes much better for us. If we don't follow these creational natural laws, eventually we could end up like Atlantis and Lemuria or Pelagon civilization. And these were peoples much, much more highly evolved than us. And they kind of lost their way. And I forget exactly where the people from Atlantis and Lemuria came from. I believe the people in Pelagon's time came here. What I was reading yesterday said something about the Barnard Star. But I'm not so sure that I shouldn't be contradicting what we read. But I'll just leave that open-ended for now. And take us back up to the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. It was roughly 133,000 years ago when all this started. And so it was 20,000 years after Pelagon's society. So there are these civilizations on the Earth, and they're run and they're created, not by Earth humans, although sometimes Earth humans did certain level of work in places, but they were extraterrestrial humans who were much more highly evolved. So Atlant and Caryatide came here from another world, probably in a different space-time configuration from ours too, and they built a gigantic city called Atlantis on a island continent that I believe was somewhere between South America and Africa, or probably even a little bit closer to the equator at that time. The Earth had a different configuration. It wasn't tilted on its axis the way it is now. Believe it or not, and this is hard to imagine, but Florida was up near the North Pole, and it was called Hyperborea at that time, and it had a beautiful climate and palm trees, and it was really wonderful. So the North and the South Pole weren't frigid and icy the way they are now, and that's probably why, like in Antarctica, for instance, they say, well, it looks like we got pyramids down here, and there's all this talk of all this stuff that was found in Antarctica, the South Pole. I guess I sometimes confuse it to Antarctica. Sorry for the pause there and the quiet. It is the South Pole, Antarctica. And it was most likely very, very warm, just like the North Pole area was during the time when these extraterrestrial humans were here. Now, so Atlant, who was from, he was had a background. He had broad shoulders and pasty white skin, and his descendants were his ancestors were from Lyra Vega. Lyra Vega is where a lot of the humanity in our Milky Way galaxy started from. But there are seven different space-time configurations in our universe. And some of these people were in a different space-time configuration than we here in the Sol system are. Even though their space-time configurations have similar constellations and planets and things like that, they are different. So Caryatide Atlant came here. They developed this beautiful city on this island continent. And then the leader of Mu came here later and built the city of Mu, which was in the Gobi Desert, near the Gobi Desert. And there was Agartha Alpha and Agartha Beta, two cities that were kind of connected by underground tunnels. And the two cities, they just kind of stayed away from each other because they found out that is one of the better ways to avoid war is just to kind of stay within your own realm and with your own culture. The Playaran don't mix peoples the way we do. They don't recommend it for a lot of different reasons. So let me read just a little bit, and this is Contact Report 60 up at the Future of Mankind site. It says, at that time, Greater Atlantis and Mu were the two most gigantic cities that had ever been built on the Earth, and for the sake of peace, they were built on two different continents, which is what I was alluding to earlier. Again, a high culture was built up, and everything began to blossom. During a few millennia, complete unity and peace prevailed. Okay, this is for 2,000 years before some scientists, in their greed for might, got out of control of the good human nature, Asarton, and with all means available to them, tried to seize dominion. Now, on Earth today, it's the medical scientists that are trying to seize control of the Earth, and they're doing it through this COVID-19 and the lockdowns. COVID-21 is coming, beware. The peoples, however, with a distant memory of the wars of their forefathers. Okay, I skipped something. I gotta step back. Okay, yeah, I did. During a few millennia, complete unity and peace prevailed before some scientists in their greed for might got out of control of the good human nature and again, with all means available to them, tries to seize dominion. So we're going down the wrong path again. The peoples, however, with the distant memory of the wars of their forefathers, rose up against the might-craving scientists, so the scientists had to flee. In our society, we have the medical tyranny that's being placed on us, and then we have the other scientists, which are the transhumanists who want to merge us with machines. Through some allies that were disposed towards them, they were able to appropriate several spaceships and fled into outer space. Calculated in Earth years, this was a little more than 150,000 years ago. Now this sounds like we're almost talking about Pelagon again, that far back. Let me continue. During the following tens of thousands of years, these evil-minded refugees lived in a different space and time configuration. In a neighboring solar system, fathered many descendants and developed a high technology which offered them tremendous possibilities. So these people, they kind of got driven off the Earth because they tried to start all these wars. And they built themselves up, their technologies up. But they had this tremendous hate, so they're going to come back to the Earth. and they're going to be led by a guy named Eris. And we'll continue here. This technology, however, they furthered only in hatred and revenge, because they thereby wanted to bring the Earth under their Gewalt. Gewalt is kind of a brutal, super intense violence. And, through their government, the hatred and pathological craving for revenge of the descendants was constantly stirred up and driven so far that in their own ranks, a certain order could be maintained only with very great effort and dreadful punishments. So this is so bizarre. These people got driven off the Earth to another solar system. They prospered. They built themselves up. They increased their lifespans. They developed all this technology. But they're still filled with their hate. And they want to fly all the way back to the Earth and seek revenge. Crazy. Thus the people of malicious and bestial nature came into being. It was also their hatred through which the average life expectancy of these hate-filled human beings was driven up by means of research. So they lived maybe 2,000 years, who knows, through gene manipulation and through mutations and so forth. So that in the end it amounted to several thousands of years. So maybe they lived 3,000 years. So each individual human being of this people was taught in the art of war and the most outrageous intrigues. They were probably kind of like terrorists. After 2,000 years, these hateful people had progressed so far that an attack on the Earth could be considered. And I wondered if that was part of the issue. They just wanted the Earth. They wanted that real estate. Thus, they got on their way and climbed on board of their large spaceships and came to the Earth. So this is Eris. And this was around 103,000 Earth years ago. So when we think of Atlantis and Lemuria and the Great War getting started, you can think of that almost 100,000 years ago. Their leader was the Ishwish Eris, J-H-W-H. There's the acronym for the King of Wisdom. Now, this King of Wisdom had a lot of scientific wisdom, but maybe not so much of the spiritual wisdom. The Barbarian, a scientist of extremely bestial disposition and coercive might. For his help, he had appointed many scientists of most varied disciplines as deputies and sub-leaders, 200 in number. Pelagon had the same structure of 200 sub-leaders. There must be something to that. Suddenly and predatorily, they pounced on the Earth and stole new land for themselves. Thus, they were then able to colonize the north of America, which, again, was up near the North Pole. The Florida actually was up near the North Pole. Suddenly, it is the present day Florida, which came to rest in the present day South, only due to a shift of the Earth. So the Florida used to be up near the North Pole, and then when the great meteor hit the Earth, the whole Earth shifted down. And now Florida is where it is now. From there, they won a great might over the Earth for themselves, whereby they continuously fought Atlantis and Mu. So Eris, and this is something that I missed, fought Atlantis and Mu. Constantly, they pushed toward greater Atlantis and Mu in order to bring these cities into their possession through acts of war. So originally, and for some reason I never remembered this, is Eris was trying to take over Atlantis and Mu. He was trying to take over the whole Earth. And I believe his son gets involved here soon. Constantly they push forward to greater Atlantis and Mu in order to bring these cities into their possession through acts of war. Thus, for many further millennia, worldwide wars blazed before evil elements of hate-filled human beings were able to infiltrate into the ruling elite of Atlantis and Mu. And that's what we have now. Now, the same kind of thing. Hate-filled human beings and the ruling elite. The secret dark order, as Billy calls it. Who secretly stirred up hatred and Gewalt until greater Atlantis and Mu were completely destroyed through the intrigues, whereby few survivors were able, went into servitude. While greater scientists were able to flee with their ships, spaceships, and return to their former home worlds. So some people left the Earth because of this violence and these wars. And they went to the Pleiaren system. This is very interesting. It's also kind of funny why they still use the term Pleiades here, even though that's really not where the Pleiaren are from. However, the form in which greater Atlantis and Mu were destroyed was of such intrigues and full of horror that in the history of the human beings on the Earth, it will probably be never paralleled. The intriguers stirred up malicious machinations between the Atlanteans and the citizens of Mu. And I think that's what's happening to the United States right now. We're getting, the left and the right are getting stirred up by the elite and the Chinese communists, so that we'll hate each other. Between both arose malicious hatred and the will to destroy. And that's right where we are today. So amazing. How does history keep repeating itself? Mu, which was in the Gobi Desert, feuded with Greater Atlantis, which was built in the great island kingdom between present-day Africa and America. Hey, my memory was good in that. Before it sank in the Atlantic due to the greatest earthly war catastrophe of all past and probably also all future times, leaving behind only a few small islands, which today you call the Azores. Well, let's look that up. I think that's pretty interesting. Where in the heck are the Azores? Azores. Oh, wow. Is that right? Huh. So the Azores are much farther north than I thought. Okay, the Azores. Autonomous region of the Azores is one of the two autonomous regions of Portugal. It is the archipelago comprised of 9 volcanic islands in the Macaronesian region of the North Atlantic Ocean, which was 1,400 kilometers west of Lisbon in continental Portugal, northwest of Morocco. So this, I guess, is... I wish they had the names of the... it looks to me... like this is Europe, of course. I'm not seeing a good picture here. This is frustrating. Near the Portuguese. I'm going to do another search. Thanks for bearing with me on this. This is just more of my own. Azores, the autonomous region of Portugal. Archipelago in the mid-Atlantic. The islands are characterized by dramatic landscapes, fishing villages. That's the remnant of Atlantis. Let me see if it'll give us a map. Okay, I see them now. They are beautiful. Let me try to zoom back. Okay, now this is starting to make some more sense. So it's the North Atlantic, but it's more towards Portugal and Spain, and to the left is the United States, to the right is Portugal and Spain. Now that's what's left. What was here before was between Africa and South America. So now, so this must have been pretty big, pretty nice place. Okay, that was my little side tangent. At that time, the war powers of Mu and Alanis were of horrendous might and size and equipped with the highest technological achievement. So Greater Atlantis alone had its disposal army of 4.83 million men equipped with small combat beam ships. They had these heat rays, if I remember correctly. Furthermore, the government of Atlantis commanded a giant fleet of 123,000 units of single-person destroyers, miniature beam ships for close Earth combat. In addition, there existed another 16,431 Eliminator units, miniature beam ships, which through the effects of heat were able to totally eliminate all material within fractions of a second. I wonder what their energy source was. Finally, they were equipped with also 24,230,000 overkill beamers, never remember that term, each of which required 10 people to operate, and were installed in mid-range beam ships. To this tremendous might, Mu was inferior, which however did not make it less dangerous for the Greater Atlanteans, because the Mu scientists had likewise developed very dangerous weapons, which in many ways were even more dangerous and more destructive than everything of the Atlanteans together. The scientists of Mu had in fact discovered powers which made it possible for them to convert entire small planets into all-destroying space bombs by pulling them out of their orbits of millions of years, with extreme precision steering them into a carefully determined target of another planet and letting them crash down with devastating force and explode above the target. And it was exactly this frightful weapon that they used when Greater Atlantis commenced the full-scale attack against Mu. And I think I'm going to leave it there. Just before this messenger of death starts to get sent to the Earth. Very interesting. And this is Contact Report 60. It's up on the Future of Mankind site. I have this on my own site, but I don't think it's nearly as good as the one on the Future of Mankind site. I think I got mine from Colonel Wendell Stevens and one of his books that was based on the Contact Reports. So anyway, very interesting stuff. I feel like every time I read it, every time I go over it, I learn more and more and more again. It's very, very strange how that works out. Anyway, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. And have a great day.